Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happened to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped. Through his blood,
step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichukwu today.
All right, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 to 19. I want to give us a gift in this service. Pay attention to what God is saying. I'm going to try as much as possible to keep it down because I feel an explosion within my spirit. Something is bubbling big within me. But I don't want it to be lost in the zeal of the moment. I don't want it to be lost in the aura of what God is doing. I don't want it to be lost. I want us to be instructed of the Spirit so that zeal can move with knowledge, so there can be weight within the shout. When you're shouting, it won't just be an empty noise. Empty vessels just make noise. Empty vessels just make noise. But when you have the keys, then you can practice the light of that knowledge and you'll see the results. Somebody say here. This has been the key scripture for the month and for the season that the Lord has ushered us into. The last 6 months of the year 2025. We're going to read verse 18 and verse 19 together. One to go. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Again, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. How many of you have cleared out the old? Ask your neighbor, are you still holding on to the past? Are you still remembering and rehearsing the past? Are you still maintaining a connection to the past? Are you still giving the past a room, space in your heart? Are you still connected to people that take you back to the past? Now listen, when I teach you about the key principles, you know, the dynamics, I will get into the dynamics, but today I'm going to first of all focus on the spiritual keys. But when I get to the dynamics, the first dynamics, the first factor that determines you're moving and forging into the new is your ability to let go of your past. You can't hold on to the past and embrace the new at the same time. It's a decision. And hear the word of the Lord. Do not remember the former things, including former successes. There are people that what used to be and the success of yesteryears is the only boast they have that gives them a false sense of security. They are no longer winning. They are no longer moving forward. Every time they want to testify is what used to be. May your testimony not be obsolete and stale. May you not live life to the point that every testimony you give, you know, good old days. No, there are better new days. I said there are better new days. Whoever has that word, lift your hands and shout your loudest, amen. Don't consider the things of old. Rejoice in your successes. Rejoice in the things God has done. But God is yet to do awesome things beyond minds can fathom. The best of God is not behind, it's before us. Somebody say here. Now look at verse 30 and hold that person's hands and read it out loud. 1, 2, go. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Behold, I will do a new thing. First word there is behold. Somebody shall behold. That means if you're not looking for it, you won't see it. Look, see it. God is doing something. Don't get stuck in the past. Don't get stuck in your needs. Don't get stuck in the noise. Don't let the noise of everything happening confuse you. Look to him and see there is something he's doing. I know it as I know that God is God. And my name is David Ifechukwu, and I'm a man, not a female. I know it as I know it. I'm standing here holding a mic. Much more than it, we have entered a new season. Orchestrated by God himself. Now the Bible said it shall spring forth. Another word is that it shall break forth. It has to be birthed. It shall spring forth. It shall break forth. Lift your hands and say, my new breaks forth now. Kai Mande Zakata. It shall spring forth. And he said, shall you not know it? Watch that word. Shall you not know it? Shall you not know it? That means until you know it, until you know it, you can't bet it. It takes a knowing it to bet it. When whatever God is going to manifest in your life, he first of all sends you a knowing. Is that knowing that gets you pregnant with it? Is that knowing that gets you pregnant with it? Is that knowing? And that's why we fast and pray. That's why we worship. That's why we wait on God. So he sends that light in our hearts. He stirs up that scripture, that word, that prophetic word, and somehow you know it. Once your word comes, the womb of your spirit is impregnated with something. You know it. So once a woman gets pregnant, after a while, she knows it. Something becomes different. It will take quite a while, even for a trained eyes to begin to see it, before some other thing starts showing outwardly. But this woman has certain signs, certain things happening in her body, certain hormonal things that just let her know, I might be pregnant. And that's what makes her to go test. And then he begins to test, and when she tests it, it's evident. Every other person can still be laughing at her. Every other person can still be looking down on her. But she's carrying something, and she knows it. I pray for you that even as we are ending, the 7 days fast, if you've not received your own word, because there is my pastor said, and there is the Lord said. There is my pastor prayed, and there is the Lord declared. There is, I pray for you that if you've not yet received your word, that you are just praying or you were just participating, if you have not yet received your word, I pray before the end of today that you be impregnated with your word. Amen. Shall I not know it? Only those that know it can bet it. Only those that that know it can bet it. Ask your neighbor, are you yet pregnant with something from the Lord? Mary received the word of the Lord. She asked, how shall it be? He said, the power of God shall come upon you and shall overshadow you. And he said, let it be done to your men servant as you have spoken. And bam, the word became flesh. I decree and declare every prophecy of God into your spirit and over your life, even from the mouth of your prophet and your pastor in this season, shall be made evident. The word became flesh. The word became flesh. Help me touch 2-3 people. Say, shall you not know it? I'm going to give us spiritual keys to betting the new. You can also call it breaking forth into the new. They are the same. Spiritual keys to betting the new. You see, whatever God is doing, that new thing must be betted. Whatever God puts in your spirit, whatever word, prophecy that enters your spirit has to be bettered. You have to break forth into it. You have to spring forth into it. The first key, write it down. Travailing in the spirit. That's the first key. Travailing in the spirit. This is not for those who have not received any word. This is for those who are ready to receive a word. Everybody shouts, traveling in the spirit. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 9. Hold that neighbor and read very boldly and loudly to that neighbor. Want to go. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause delivery, shut up the womb? Says. So God is speaking to us. He said, hey, I'm the one who caused delivery, and I will shut up your womb. The womb of your spirit will not be denied access to the seed of God. Never, 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 never. Say with me, I am of God. I am born of God. I have the nature of God. Therefore, I hear his voice. And I know his voice. And I follow his voice. And the voice of a stranger I will not follow. Say, God is my father. I am his son. I am in a covenant relationship with God. And I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ, who teaches me, who reveals all things that are of the Father to me and of the Son. Say, in the name of Jesus, I know who I am. Say, I have undeniable access to the voice of God. Say, my spirit is his dwelling place. Say, my heart is his fertile soil. He speaks into my life, and I bear much fruit. That has blocked your womb and made you spiritually deaf, spiritually blind, spiritually barren, is terminated this morning. Whatever the enemy orchestrated, engineered to be a distraction and a seduction away from the voice of God, so that when God is speaking, you're not hearing, so that when God is moving, you're not seeing. Today, I stand and destroy it. Let the portals of your spirit be opened and unhindered to that which God is saying, to that which God is doing in this season, in the name of Jesus. Who am I talking to? If I cause delivery, I won't shut up the womb. So whatever shuts up the womb, that's why you notice I'm addressing that thing. Whatever shuts up the womb of your spirit is not God. It's not God that is not speaking to you. It's something that is blocking the ears. So you don't talk to God. You arise and address that thing with authority. God does not shut the womb of a believer. An enemy has done it. Not God. Every natural human being has the ability to hear and to what? To speak. And if someone gives birth to a child and the child cannot hear and speak, it's not normal. The inability to hear God is not normal to a believer. So you start going for treatment because that's a disease, that's an infirmity, that's something out of order. Don't say, maybe I'm not created not to hear God. No. Everyone here is created to receive the incorruptible seed of God into the womb of your spirit. Everyone here. That's how God gives us a future and a hope. By releasing the seed of it into the womb of our spirit. Lift your hands. Say, my womb can never be shut. Say it again. My womb can never be shut. Say, my eyes are anointed. And I see. My ears are anointed. And I hear the Lord. Say, my heart is quickened. And I comprehend, I understand the things of the Spirit. Shall I, who caused delivery, shut up the womb? Then he says, first, shall I bring to the time of birth? So if I won't shut up your womb, I will release a seed. And you will conceive. And then, when I release a seed, I will protect the seed within you. And I will bring you to the time of what? Birth. Everything God releases into your spirit has a time of what? Birth. Somebody shout the time of birth. That's what I'm about to show you by the revelations of the Spirit. From the time you get pregnant. For the human being is 9 months. And sometimes it can come a little earlier or a little later. But it's within that period. The doctors will give you your due date and they will say plus or minus 2 weeks. And then when that time comes, there are signs you begin to get. Something starts happening around that time. For the woman, her pelvic region starts shifting. Even the bone starts changing. Things starts happening in your body. In fact, it gets to a particular time. The person said, I'm feeling contraction. Then goes to the hospital. They check how many centimeters has the person dilated. And they are watching. And they are watching and observing. And sometimes they say, no, it's forced labor. Go back because there are signs. Somebody say signs of the times. Now, that time is Kairos. It's not time marked out by calendar. It's time marked out by opportunity. The due season has come. So there is no month in a calendar that a woman gives birth. It's determined by when she conceives and when she's due. Somebody say due season. So the time of birth is what we also know as due season. I am telling somebody, you're in your due season. It may not be for everybody, but someone under the sound of my voice, that anointing is upon me to tell you, you are in your due season. I say you are in your due season. This is my due season. I know it. This is my due season of manifestation. This is my due season of visibility. This is my due season of fulfillment. This is my due season of fulfillment of purpose. This is my due season. This is my due season of breaking forth into new levels. This is my due season. So God says, I bring people to their due season. I bring people to their kairos. I bring people to their time of birth. When I bring you to a time of birth and the sign starts coming, then you get to a particular time and the doctor say anything can happen now. Sometimes the person may not even notice. Maybe some other signs like the contraction was not even as much as the person wanted. But the person now gets and they just check some other signs. And they say, wow, the baby is coming. The baby is coming. Cause what? Delivery. Someone will take delivery of your new level impact, new level influence, new level open doors, new level abundance, new level. Aye, taye po shakata. Edayanda saya. New level. New level. New level. I say new level. So thank God for this. And we already see he's the one who causes delivery and won't shut up the womb. And so he's the one who impregnates us with the incorruptible seed of his word that lives and endures forever. He's the one. He's the one who also brings us. You see, the Holy Spirit is doing this. He's the one who brings us to the time of delivery, and he's the one who causes the delivery. So where is my participation in it? By the word of the Lord, I have to find. I'm seeing his responsibilities, but what's my responsibility? When he brings me to the time of delivery, what's my responsibility? If I take it a little back, my first is I've got to be in the place of intercourse. That's called worship. For him to impregnate me. You don't hear the king's voice in the marketplaces. You don't hear the king's voice on the street corners. You hear the king's voice in the palace. There is an environment. There is a place where God speaks. It is my responsibility to pay and give attention to his word, to incline my ears to his saying, because that's the only way. What I'm listening to determines what I hear. It's my responsibility. And then when he releases that word, quickens my spirit with that word, it is now my responsibility to stay and carry that word and not let it be aborted. The enemy will try with contrary voices. The enemy will try with fear. The enemy will try with worry and anxiety. The enemy will try with logic and reasoning of men, the intellects of men. The enemy will try with intellectualism. And there will be certain things that will, but I've got to fight the good fight of faith. Tell your neighbor, fight the good fight of faith. Say, lay hold on eternal life. Your word is eternal life. So you lay hold on the word and you stay on it. He said this, I believe it, he settles it. He said this, I believe it, he settles it. You hear a news contrary to what God said, you said, no, whose report will I believe? I believe the report of the Lord. The arm of the Lord has been revealed to me. I stand on God's word. You hear another news, something else happens and it seems contradictory to what God is saying is happening in your life. You said, no, against hope, I believe in hope. I refuse to cast away my confidence. I refuse. The Lord is my confidence. If he has said it, I believe it. The word of God is God himself. I can stand on the word. You stay there. You don't let the enemy carry your seed to fool them. Don't permit abortion of the things God is saying to you because you're giving in to contrary voices. And I'm telling you, every time God opens the heavens over your heart and tells you you're my beloved son, the next thing the devil will tempt you, questioning what he say, if you're the son of God, if you're the son of God, turn the stones into bread. If you're the son of God, if God said you're rich, give me money now. If God said you're prosperous, why did your business not sell last month as it should? If God says you're graced, why didn't your cell grow, even with all the efforts you made? If God said, he will question it. He will question it. And you're going to tell him, listen, man shall not live by physical evidence, but by every word. If God says it, even if the physical doesn't approve of it, even if the physical doesn't seem to agree with it, once he says it, he settles it. So the devil wanted the turning of stones into bread as evidence. Do a sign for me. Jesus says, no, man shall live by the word of God. It means I don't need a sign for an evidence. God's word is evidence enough. God's word is evidence enough. I'm healed and you're still carrying the growth. Is evidence enough? I'm healed. You went for a test. They said the thing is getting worse. God's word is evidence enough. I will never say I am sick. Against hope, I believe in hope. I refuse to waver on my faith. I will keep standing every single day. Even if the pain is so much and I'm crying, I'll be crying and keep saying I'm healed. Even if I'm mourning, I'll be mourning and say I'm healed. I won't beg. I am the healed of the Lord. This is my heritage. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was laid upon him. By whose stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. And I still stay healed. You stand on the word. Somebody said, God's word is evidence enough. Am I hearing you? Shout it loud. I said, God's word is evidence enough. What's my role then? Let's look at verse 7 and verse 8. Look at that neighbor. Hold that neighbor's hands and read to that neighbor. One to go. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a mage. Everybody read it again. People want to give birth without labor. People want to deliver a male child. And you see, delivering your children means you're new, breaking your new into what has not been, into what has been existing only in the womb of your spirit. And that's what vision is. For the unbeliever, the vision is just in his mind. For the believer, it's beyond mind. We are not just natural human beings. We are living spirits. So something is right there in the womb of your spirit. God has deposited it. Everybody is seeing you the way you are. But there is something more real within you you see beyond the outward. A greater future. Much more. You close your eyes and you see multitudes. See yourself touching lives, reaching nations, planting churches everywhere, transforming society, building industries, building institutions, innovating things. You see yourself doing massive things by the power of the Holy Spirit, living out your purpose and living out your dreams beyond what you could even imagine. And you're seeing it, and yet, when you look around you physically, it doesn't look like it. And people want to move from what they see physically into a new dimension without labor. They just wish that if they shout amen, it happens. They just wish, let pastor just lay hands. Can someone do the work for me? I just want to collect it and move. Tell your neighbor, nothing, it just happens. Anytime you begin to live life and desire harvest of seeds you're not sowing, you're living in fool's paradise. Those who live their life fantasize and end up poor, broke, failures in life. You don't fantasize. Any garden you want, you don't wish it, you cultivate it. Anything you want to happen, there is a role you must play. There is something. And you don't pick diamonds on the streets. You don't pick great treasures on the streets. You dig for treasures. You don't just leave your farmland fallow, walk into it and start harvesting tomatoes. No. If you don't walk your farmland, the only thing you harvest is weeds. Weeds will grow. Anything you want, always ask God, what is my role? Life answers to one principle. That's the mystery called life. See time and harvest. Everything I want is a harvest. Father, what is the seed? What must I do? What must I do? Somebody say, what must I do? Jesus paid the price for our salvation. Jesus sacrificed, did everything, and called it free gift. But people are still dying and going to hell. Because as much as there is a free gift, God needs someone to preach that gospel. And preaching the gospel is sacrificial. Preaching the gospel is expensive. Preaching the gospel will make you lay your life down. And if someone doesn't preach to somebody, even though Jesus has done everything, and people don't hear the gospel and they don't believe, they die and go to hell. And those who preach that gospel must make sacrifices. From a very younger age, I will go to preach to people, they will insult me. One day I was talking to a man that I'm so sure, even at the age where I was, God gave me and made me a millionaire at the age of 24. And when you're a millionaire at the age of 24, millionaire then is not millionaire now. If you have 20 million now, you are not a millionaire. I'm talking to someone I have more money than. I'm doing business better than him because of the love of Christ in my heart. And he's looking at me and saying, by this time of the day, you don't have work. Insulting me. I heard myself. I said, Lord, just 7 seconds. I'll come back to the love of Christ. Let me put this guy in his place because I came to preach to you for your own salvation. No. Jesus now told me, he said, the people I came to die for were mocking me. They were spitting on me. The people that crucified me were the people I was saving. He said, move in my spirit. That's the manner of spirit you are.
preaching the gospel, you will lay down. You will lay down your pride. You will inconvenience yourself. You will have money you wanted to use to buy flat screen, and you will sow it so that other people will be saved. You see, there is a cost on man's part. Jesus didn't pay every part. Cost. He paid everything for God's part. There is still a cost on man's part. Anything you're doing and you want to receive something from God and you are not asking for your own part, you're daydreaming. Stop lazing about and just thinking that God will waive certain things and things will just change. It doesn't work that way. That's why there are thousands of people, millions of people gathering in churches every day, every week, every month, and things are not changing in their lives. Because for them, God is a mystical deity that once they just look to Him, everything changes. They are not taking responsibility of their part. Even when you preach the gospel and the person preaching it makes the sacrifices, the person hearing it has a part. You must believe in your heart. And then you must confess with your mouth. That free gift has to be received through faith. So your part is faith. It's the Holy Spirit that will minister the faith. But the Holy Spirit will not force faith on you. You must cooperate. When you're being stirred to believe, if you resist Him, He won't impose Himself on you. There is still a responsibility you have to humble yourself and open your mouth and lift your hands and say, I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that He is the Son of God. I believe that He is Lord. He was raised from the dead. I believe He is my Savior. I receive eternal life. Without your confession, you can't receive it. So people want to give birth to new dimensions without labor. They want to give birth without labor. But see what the Spirit of the Lord says. Verse 8. Everybody read verse 8 and read it out loud. One to go. Who has heard such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? What you're about to read next is not a physical thing. It's not a natural thing. So don't calculate it naturally. Don't say it will take me 9 months. No. It's a spiritual thing. And in the realms of the spirit, the protocols of time don't exist as you have it in the natural. In the realms of a spirit, 1,000 days can be a day. I want you to listen carefully because you will miss it. What time and what is your responsibility? Look at the next thing. Hold your neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Shout it to your neighbor. Want to go. Look at it for. Everybody shout for what? One more time. One more time. The time it will take you to bet your new is the time you let the Holy Spirit send you to labor. He said, if I bring you to the time of birth, it's Him that brings the labor. It's the Holy Spirit that moves you into it. For us to be fasting and having mid-year fast is not tradition in this ministry. It was the Holy Spirit that led me into it. My wife knows when I'm very serious. She knows when I'm traveling. She knows. Because she's close. She knows no television comes on. Nothing comes on. Not everything. She comes into the room sometimes. Even my children know. Everything around knows. The devil knows.
No play, no joke. The Holy Spirit will lead you. But there are people, the Spirit of the Lord will lead into traveling. Labor time. Somebody shout labor time. And they won't be able to stay. How can I miss premiership? They come out of the labor themselves and resist the Holy Spirit. God is telling them this is not joke time. They say no, they'll be online and be watching from one screen to another. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying something is about to happen. Something is about to break my son. The person is having the witness. No, it's time to fast. It's time to pray. Put off that thing. The Holy Spirit is causing him to be in labor. But the person is refusing and resisting. And once that season goes, it takes another cycle. If you miss January this year, you have to wait another January. It takes 12 months. Kairos seasons. Kairos seasons. There is time for everything. There is time for laughter and there is time for mourning. Groaning is not wrong if it is induced by the Holy Ghost. Labor is not wrong. Every time is not shouting. There are times you gather yourself right in the spirit because you're pregnant with something. This is not a joking time. This is not I want to see you time. This is one where can we fix time and meet? No way. My friends, wait. That gist, wait. That drama in my family, wait. I don't want to get into that gossip. I don't want to know whatever is happening in my past or from my past. I'm about to give birth. When a woman is in the delivery room, nothing else matters. There is only one focus. She doesn't think about her hair. She doesn't think about whether her nails are done. She doesn't say, no, wait. Let me put my foundation before they see my pimples. No, she doesn't. At that moment, she scatters herself. Push! It's pushing time. If you want a baby, you must be ready to push. Nothing just happens. You can't be romancing your old and embrace the new. You can't be romancing your old and break forth. You can't. You can't be eating popcorn, watching movies, doing life like it used to be, and then suddenly everything changes because pastor prophesied. Pastor prophesied can get you pregnant, but if you're going to bet what you're pregnant with, God will bring you to travel in time. King James Version say, as soon as Zion traveled. Help me find 5 people and tell them it's traveling time. Talk to them, say traveling time. Come on, tell them it's traveling time. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Let's go now, for those of us who are new creations. So you know, I won't teach you anything from the Old Testament that the reality of it is not rooted in the New Testament. Epaphras, who is one of you, he's writing to the Colossians, a born servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring what? Fervent. For you what? In prayer. As soon as Zion labors. There'll be days in your life you pray 1 hour. You pray 30 minutes, depending your level of growth in the spirit and your walk with God and the increase of grace on your life. There are days that you just live your normal life. Read a chapter of the Bible, read 2 chapters, depending on how you're doing it. But when you're ready for a new season, it's no longer going to be the same. There is a laboring. That laboring is serious. Laboring fervently. I wonder what for fervently means earnestly. It means wholeheartedly, heartfelt. it's not let's just pray. It's not rituals. It's not just we're in church. No. When you see someone that is laboring and church fixes 1 hour prayer, you can come to church 2 hours before time and meet him there, crying on the altar. After the church has finished praying, he's on the altar crying. It's not routine. It's not routine. There is something. That's what Anna, everybody else was eating. Elkanah, the husband, was promising him a whole world. And Elkanah was always there, a faithful husband. Loving husband, are you not worth to me more than 10 sons? People can even comfort you in that which is not God's will for you. Anna said, no. I don't want understanding. I don't want a pity party. I don't want love. I don't want massaging me. I'm massaging my wound. I want healing. I want this barrenness to terminate. I want fruitfulness. And why they will break a fast and eat, she won't eat. She went and held on to the horn of the altar. And she will pray to a point. He's no longer shouting. Only her mouth was moving. That's the groaning of the heart. When the heart has entered a zone that is not normal. It's not morning devotion. This is not morning devotion. This is something must break. Enough is enough. My life can't continue like this. It's either it happens or you call me home. Give me this or send me back home. My ministry can't continue like this. This is not what was promised me. I know what I'm pregnant with. My future must break now. I'm not waiting till next month. I know somebody's promising me something. Something has to break now. These tears in my family must end. I can't remember the any time in my family. They called a meeting and it was a celebration. Every time I see a phone ring and his number from anybody in my family, my heart jumps. Jabez prayed that kind of prayer. He said that you may bless me, that I may not cause pain anymore. Anna held. Eli, the high priest of the Lord, came thinking she was drunk. When you get to traveling, have you seen any woman in labor watching her steeds, keeping her cool? Have you seen? When you get to laboring, you're like a drunk man. You're drunk in your tears, in your brokenness. Something's got to happen. Something's got to happen now. Laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand, watch this, perfect and complete in not some of the will of God. Sometimes people stand in some of the will of God. They are growing spiritually, but they are getting broke. Is it not the will of God that we prosper in all things? Be in health. As our soul prospers. Should our soul be prospering and we are not prospering materially? Sometimes the person is prospering materially, but his spiritual life is withering. He's now become a captive to money, a captive to work, a captive to fame. He's chasing after things that should serve him. And now he can't remember the last time he said Abba and the heavens opened. Some are dealing with health issues. Peace and prosperity. Nothing missing. He said, he's groaning, traveling, that the will of God be perfected. Somebody under the sound of my voice, the prophetic word this year, he can later will be perfected in your life. Amen. Quantum leaps is the will of God. Incremental gain. If you end up this year without quantum leaps, you didn't see the perfection of the will of God. The will of God for me, the will of God for Lamb is quantum leaps. Not incremental increase, not little addition. In your business, in your family, your status must change. If you're due for marriage, and it's not next year, it's this year. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know the power of the Lord will overshadow you. I know the hand of the Lord will move things in your favor. In the name of Jesus Christ. Stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Verse 13. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal. How many of you have a great zeal for your future? How many of you have a great zeal for your family? How many of you have a great zeal for this nation? Everywhere you are, the gallery, stand on your feet at the back. Hold that neighbor by your hands. Call him Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Read, one to go. My little children. I labor in what? Again. Until Christ is formed in you. Give me the amplified version. Watch this. Watch this. The amplified version, please. Hold that neighbor. One to go. My little children, for whom I'm again what? Suffering what? I'm not hearing you. Suffering what? To travail means to labor with pain in prayer. To labor with pain. You will literally be feeling the pain. It's felt. It's not, I labor with pain, Lord. I labor with pain. No. It's, you don't pray, I labor with pain. It's, you don't say, I labor. No, you are praying. You pray, and literally the groaning, the weight of the burden, you are serious. For whom I am again suffering birth pangs until Christ is completely and permanently molded within you. When Christ is molded within you, no witch will press you again. Did witches press Christ? No. There are men like us that Lord is brought to perfection and maturity in the spirit, and we are moving from one degree to another, but at least we know who we are. We have not yet attained, we are moving forward, but something, that establishment in faith is there. No demon comes near. It's we that when we come near, demons start screaming. Look at the, you see, you labor in the spirit. I want to show you why many people are shouting amen, amen, amen in church. And after a while, a generation feels disoriented. It's as if this thing is not working. They receive a little miracle here, a little breakthrough here, a little open door here. But still struggling. Somebody is still struggling with addictions that are destroying his life. He wants out, but he can't come out. He wants a new life. Every drug addict is tired, but many of them can go. People are addicted to pornography, to masturbation, to different things. Kai, different. And they are in church. And they feel helpless. I have a word for someone from the Lord right now. The Lord said, I should tell you, allow me to bring you to the place of labor. Allow me to bring you to the place of traveling in the spirit. He said, this season now is the one I have ordained to end all your struggles. I'm moving you into a realm where the only path you know in life is peace and pleasantness. The only trajectory of your life will be upward and forward. You will never go up again to come down. You will never know down days anymore. There will be trials. There will be challenges, but you will always win. God is telling me to tell someone, just let me. You know it in your spirit. I've been doing this, and what pastor is preaching is a confirmation. Your life doesn't have to continue the way it used to be. Your suffering doesn't have to last again one more week. It doesn't have to. This thing you've been going through, allow me. When it comes to travail, there is no public show. You don't, it's not for fame. It's not for anybody to know you're a man of God or a woman of God. It's in the secret place. It's in the secret place. There are people that there is no training you've not had. There is no skill you've not done. Today you go for this one. Tomorrow you try this. There is no business you've not tried. And yet, in a bonebe. Will you travel? You don't move from a level of hundreds of thousands to a level of hundreds of millions without travel. You can hit some millions here and now and still come back to where you used. Listen, if you jump up, you jump down. You can have one big miracle here, have one windfall there. But you notice every time, like rubber, you return back to base. If you want to change level, the elastic limit must be broken. Something has to stretch. Who has the heart for it? Don't waste your years. Don't say I'm young and wake up one day and notice you're 40 years. Don't say I'm just 40 and wake up one day and notice it's 60 years. Don't say I'm 60, I'm tired. No. No. Your later years will be the best days of your life. God is not through with you yet. Give me that TPT. God. Everybody, when I finish with this, leave your neighbor and start praying in the spirit. It will be about a minute or two. But what it will do is to stir up the grace for what will now happen in your private. Corporately, yeah, we don't have the time because next service has to start fast. But something, you'll be endued with something. It's called the spirit of prayer. It's called the spirit of grace and the spirit of prayer. When it comes upon you, Skaya. All those, I'm struggling to pray. No, you'll be struggling to stop. You will know dimensions, and it's coming upon everyone who believes. Not tomorrow, right now! Open your mouth. Read that scripture and read that loud. One, two, go. You are my dear children. But I agonize what? In spiritual labor. New creation. Did you hear that? There is time for name it and claim it. There is time for labor and birth. There is time for name it and claim it. But there is time for labor. Labor. New dimension is not name it. It's not I confess. New dimension is not name it. It's not I confess. New dimensions is spiritual labor. It's painful. Once again, until the anointed one be fully formed in your heart. 1 minute. Pray in the spirit as if your life depends on it. There is an outpouring of the spirit of prayer, the spirit of grace. It's time for a change. My rising must spring forth. I can't stay in this level anymore. Not one more day. Every overdue harvest must answer. Every overdue rain must fall. Every overdue testimony must show forth. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. We are no longer marking time. No, we are changing times and seasons by the power of the Spirit. Hey, lebotaya in the kayakata, ligele proto shakata, le brende kota, ibori shaka, le boyakata, le abonseka, ligeinote, le breda. Everywhere you are, pray in the spirit. Shakaya la bokotoya. Love songs travel. Pastors travel. Deacons travel. Leaders travel. Workers travel. Partners travel. Everywhere you are, brother. Lift your hands. Begin to bless the Lord. Lift them high. Don't be spiritually lazy. These are things we do in the spirit. Lift them high. Lift them high. Let grace be stirred up within you in dimensions you've never known. In prayer, in intercessions, in supplications, in traveling, in the groanings of the spirit. And may you be brought into deep encounters of the dimensions of God's glory you've never known before. May we be brought into revelations of the spiritual. May we be brought into the wisdom of the spiritual. Le bokotoya, le brade shakata. And as we travel, you are renewed in strength. We become stronger and stronger, made strong in the grace and in the might of our Lord Jesus Christ. Haya, legetu shakataya. Father, we give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands and say, I receive the spirit of grace and of prayer. Thank you, Father. Say, let the zeal of the Lord consume me. Say, let the burdens of the Lord consume me. Let the zeal of the Lord consume me. Say, Father, I cooperate with you. I'm traveling in the spirit. In Jesus' name. Let me hear you shout your loudest. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.